I want to speak to you this morning about peace. And many of you understand that it's difficult to experience peace in times of desperation. So I'm going to use a little housekeeping illustration this morning. I don't always like to do this, but I think it's a kind of a good illustration. You know, years ago, they invented this thing called a vacuum cleaner. It's pretty miraculous. It's great for cleaning up. And there was a family of six, husband and wife and four children, and they made quite a mess in the house all the time. So mom was left with cleaning up, and she was really excited one day that dad came home and brought mom a vacuum cleaner. You know, it's probably not the things that most women like to get from their husbands is, something to cook with or something to clean with. But she was actually pretty excited, and she started to use this new vacuum cleaner, and she was just amazed by the power of this vacuum cleaner, that it could just clean up any kind of mess on the floor around the house, and it was fast, and it was easy, and it was quick. And she one day was cleaning up in her house, and it was very noisy. The kids were making a lot of noise, and a lot was going on. And so as she was going through her duties and she was cleaning up, and all of a sudden she noticed that it wasn't working the way that she had hoped for, and it wasn't picking up, and it wasn't doing its job. And so amongst all the noise and all the excitement that was going on in the house, it wasn't working, and so she called her husband. And so her husband did what any good husband did. He got one of the kids to investigate it and do the job for him, to which one of the little boys came back and found out something, and he ran. And he said, "Mommy, Daddy, it's not plugged in." And you see, the reason that I use that illustration this morning is that in our times of discouragement and despair, we need to be reminded, each of us, that God is the source of all our power. But we need to be plugged in. And we need to be plugged in by coming to Him often in prayers, even in the times of the valley of doubt. And that's what we're going to speak about. I'm going to speak about today. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. Have you ever experienced discouragement through circumstances? May I ask you today, are you experiencing physical or emotional pains, maybe from events in your life? Have you hoped for a miracle only to be discouraged because you didn't receive it? Does this make you sometimes doubt what God can do in your life? Do you feel as though He is not listening or does not care? Maybe it's sometimes just there's just too many questions and not enough answers. All of us at times can get frustrated when things in our life seem to be overwhelming. The parent of an adult child that still suffers from an addiction of alcohol. The wife or the husband whose spouse has not changed their ways. Those of us who suffer from depression or know of a loved one that suffers from depression. We all experience times of doubt in what God can do in our lives and in the lives of others. But we need to understand that each of us need to be plugged in. And we get plugged in through the power of God in Christ, oftentimes by just coming to Him. And you see, the disciples thought that they had the power to perform miracles, but when they discovered that the power that they needed didn't reside within them, each of us today need to understand that miracles in our lives are only possible through the power of God. But that power must be connected through prayer. So I invite you now to look in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. And all of us at times experience that kind of despair. Each of us become confused at times in our own lives when things don't work out. And maybe things don't work out now how they used to work out. And the disciples experience the same thing that a lot of us experience. We tend to think that we have the ability, the capacity to handle life's situations. You know, there is an organization that helps families and friends of those that suffer from the addiction of alcohol. It is called Al-Anon. And Al-Anon is a program that helps those that are actually victimized, if you will, from those that suffer from the addiction of alcohol. They actually are some of the greatest sufferers, the family members of an alcoholic. And in this program of Al-Anon, what they teach people is three very important criteria at the very beginning. It is what they call the three C's. You didn't cause it. You can't cure it. And you can't control it. And that's a truth that each of us need to understand in our lives. This is what happened to the disciples. Here was a situation where a boy was possessed by an evil spirit. Well, they didn't cause this problem. They couldn't cure the problem. And they couldn't control the problem. And so in their frustration, there's this crowd that is assembling around them, what I call the naysayers, and it was the scribes. They were taking this opportunity to gang up on the disciples. The disciples were actually doing everything they could to control this situation, to cure this situation, as if they had caused this situation when they hadn't. And the scribes were arguing with them because everything these disciples were doing wasn't working. And the scribes were delighting in this. Because you see, earlier, Christ had sent the disciples by two and gave them all authority to cast out demons. And so now we come to this point here where the scribes are arguing with these men why they couldn't do it. What's the problem with this situation? Well, if Jesus' disciples couldn't show that they had authority over these demons, what's the problem? If the authority that Jesus had given them was becoming under question, then the authority of Jesus would come under question. And so that is the situation that each of us face today in our times of valley of doubt that we experience. And look at verse 18 here. The text says, so I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. Because the disciples were thinking all the power was right here. Like a vacuum cleaner. They thought the power was in the vacuum cleaner, so to speak. But it wasn't the source of the power. And each of us, when we come in these situations in our lives, in this valley of doubt, we need to understand where all authority and the source of power that each of us seeks in these moments of our lives of desperation and trials. The 19th century preacher, pastor E.M. Bounds, who wrote many books about prayer, reminds us prayer honors God, but it dishonors self. It is a man's plea of weakness, ignorance, and want. It is a plea which heaven cannot disregard. God delights to have us pray. You see, the difference was is those other disciples that were arguing with the scribes had too much faith in themselves and not enough faith in the power of prayer in Christ. And what happens in our lives is we become busy. We live in this busy world today, and we live in a very technological world. We've got many things at our disposal that make our lives easy. And so what happens is that we take our focus off of Christ and what the work is He has done on the cross for us. And we look at these things. We look at modern conveniences. We look at technologies. We look at procedures oftentimes. We look at organizations. And so what happens is that we also listen to the naysayers. The naysayers that say that you can't do this. You can't overcome this situation. What you really need is a drug to help you with this. You just need some more counsel from some people. And our first instinct a lot of times is not to go to Christ in prayer, when that's the first place we should go. That's what the naysayers would say to us. Then that's what they say to us today. And that's what the world tells us. You know, if Jesus had given the disciples authority to cast out demons, why could they not cast out the evil spirit in this boy now? The power that they had was still at their disposal. And it was the same power that the early church and the book of Acts experienced the power. You see, after Christ's ascension, after those 40 days, the church prayed. The apostle Peter preached at Pentecost, and 3,000 people were saved. If we read that text in the book of Acts, Peter probably preached about 10 minutes. But do you know the church prayed for 10 days? Sometimes we preach for 10 days and pray for 10 minutes and wonder why nothing happens. The church prayed for 10 days. They prayed for boldness through the power of the Holy Spirit that they could be powerful witnesses for Christ. And they were. We need to be those same faithful church today and coming to God continually in prayer. Each of us are reminded of the power of prayer in our lives and what Christ has done for us. But have you considered something today in your trials and in your discouragement and perhaps in your despair that God can use your situation for His glory? In the moments of right where you're at today, what you're going through, can God use that for His glory? Is it in the trials of your life that God's glory is revealed to you? Or is it when you're on the mountaintop? Because nothing grows on the mountaintop. Only things that are grown are in the valley. Each of us experience these mountaintop highs in these valley lows, but it is in the growth of our faith in the valley oftentimes that we experience God's power and His glory. But what happens? Sometimes we just don't ask. We just don't ask. Billy Graham, the great evangelist of the 20th century, said, "Heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask." We need to come to God in times of our despair and recognized his power. But we need to come to him early. And that's what the disciples were faced with in this situation. They were faced with here, and what happened? As they came about, these scribes that were arguing with them, look with me, if you will, back into the text for a moment. Because we need to understand the same power of Christ. And what happens today is that Satan does not want you to think that he even exists. That's his great confusion. That's his great ruse, if you will. That's his great thing that he wants everyone in the world to believe, that he just doesn't simply exist. But when Christ came to this boy, what happened? Look at verse 20 for a moment. And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, meaning the evil spirit that had possessed this child, when the spirit saw him, immediately it had convulsed the boy. You see, Satan recognizes the power of Christ. Satan recognizes the power of Christ's name. But oftentimes, we can forget that. And it is those times of despair we need to come to Christ early and recognize his power and authority for us and all of our lives. Peace comes from trusting Christ for all our needs in prayer. Peace comes to us through the miraculous, that what only God can do. And peace comes from trusting Christ for all our needs and prayers. The disciples failed where Jesus succeeded. Their failure was not from a lack of trying, but it was from a lack of prayer. And when our frustration is reduced to despair, we need to come to the Lord and simply say, help. Help. In your time of despair, have you ever heard someone say to you, you just need faith? You just need more faith. If you just had a little more faith, you could handle this. You ever hear that? You ever heard someone speak to you, if you just had faith, if you just had a little more faith? You know, if you're here today, if you're here today in worship, each of you has faith. But in our times of despair and desperation and trials, it gets challenged, doesn't it? Each of us understands this. And when this man came to Christ, look at verse 23 and 24. Let me back up. Verse 22. When the father of this child comes to Christ, he says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That was his plea. But he said, if you can do anything. When we come to God into prayer, our prayer is not, can you do anything? Sometimes our prayer just needs to be help. In times of our doubt, in times when our faith, our spiritual tank, if you will, seems like it's running low or it's running empty, sometimes we just need to say, help. Can you imagine coming at the feet of Jesus and saying, if you can do anything, the maker of heaven and earth that holds time in his hands, if you can do anything? Yes, Jesus can do anything in your life. He has the power. And look at Christ's response in verse 23. And Jesus said to him, if you can. Now last week I encouraged you to take out a pen or a pencil or a marker to underline Genesis 18 verses 14. I want to encourage you today in your Bible to underline this text here. In verse 23, all things are possible for one who believes. Take that text, write it down, put it on a sticky note, put it by your bedside, by your bedside table, put it on the mirror in your bathroom, put it on the dash of your car, Put it in your kitchen. Anywhere, everywhere, maybe not just one, maybe dozens of these. Write this down. All things are possible for one who believes. You see, this man who came to him probably had other people that we experience ourselves that say, can you do anything? Do you just need more faith? He had faith. He just craved more faith. We need to crave more faith in our lives and what Christ can do. And he said, help. He said, I believe. Help my unbelief. He had faith. He didn't need to hear someone say, you just need to have faith. You just need more faith. He just cried out and said, I believe, but help that portion in my life that is lacking. And the text says there, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the crowd coming, he healed the boy. Why? You know, there's a lot of people that want to ride on your coattails of faith. They see you exercising great faith, and they want to see it. And they wanted to see the great exercise of faith that Christ had in healing this boy. And they came running, and as soon as they came running, Christ had healed the child. But each of us in our lives need to understand that we don't need to wait immediately to cry out to God into prayer and ask that simple prayer for help. Peace comes from trusting Christ for all our needs in prayer. You will never have an unmet need in Christ. Peace comes from trusting Christ for all our needs in prayer. If the man who brought this child to Jesus in faith didn't already have faith, he would have never have come to Christ. You know, the personal power of prayer is greatly exemplified by the Apostle Paul, who often prayed. He said, I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. 2 Corinthians 12:5. You know, we live in a world today that doesn't want to hear about boasting in weakness. It doesn't want us to, it does not encourage us to say how weak we are, how powerless we are. We're taught from media, from culture, and from all the influences that come into our life that we are not supposed to be weak, and nor are we to tell anyone about our weakness. We're to be strong, we're to be powerful, we're to be able to do these things. But the Bible tells us contrary to that. Why? Why is that important for us to understand today? Paul said, I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. And after Paul desperately pleading with the Lord because of the thorn that was in his flesh, Jesus told the apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. It is in Him. Why is that so important for us to understand? I want to encourage you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 today. And I want to show you something. It's not important for us to boast in who we are. It's not important for us to be strong always and think that we can do it in the times when we are the weakest, when we feel the desperation and the doubt. We can cry out. Paul cried out and said, I will not boast, or I will boast of my weakness, meaning he would not boast of strength. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Listen, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The power of Christ may rest upon you. When we turn it over to Christ in simple adoration and prayer. And look at verse 10. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. The adult child of yours that is suffering that addiction, the family member suffering from depression, the physical pains that you might be experiencing now. Why? For when I am weak, then I am strong. Write that down. Write that down on a post-it note. Write a bunch of them down today. Go out, go to the store, go to Walmart, wherever you need. Get those little sticky post-it notes and write this down. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In Christ. In Christ. The text said there that this man that came to him said, I believe. That's a tough word. And if you also read in the Gospel of John, the word believe is filled. And we tend to think if we believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word believe for many of us is like if we had all the knowledge, if we could completely understand something, we can believe. But that's not what it means in the Greek. The word actually means to trust, to put your confidence in Him. You know, many of us today can put our confidence in many things. Into technologies, and to our own knowledge and our own strength. But we're to put our belief, our trust, our confidence in Christ and what Christ has done on the cross. May I ask you today, where are you placing limits on God in your life? Where do you need to ask, Lord, help? Maybe our prayer or your prayer needs to be, help me to understand that your grace is sufficient. Help me to see the glorious grace which you have given us from Christ and the cross. And the psalmist writes in Psalm 119:37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. You know, one of the darkest times in this country was during the Civil War, and Abraham Lincoln, our president at that time, led this country in one of the darkest times. And Abraham Lincoln himself demonstrated great leadership and wisdom, but even Abraham Lincoln said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. We need to be driven to our knees often and often early. But Christ told the disciples that this kind can only be driven out by prayer. Verse 29. The power of prayer alone conquers doubt and provides peace. Jesus tells us that the miraculous comes only through prayer. And it was the faithful act of the disciples in the early church that also prayed faithfully. So we also need to come in prayer expectantly, not as a last resort, but as the first resort. It isn't simply faith that we're able to accomplish great things in our life, but only through the power in Christ. It is the faith in Christ by prayer that allows us to experience as well as witness the glory of God. Peter prayed for believers in Samaria. Peter prayed for Dorcas to live, and she did. Paul prayed in Damascus after his conversion. Paul and Barnabas committed the elders to the Lord in prayer. Paul and Silas prayed when they were in a Philippian jail. All these stories of the apostles and of their faith and prayer. And James said, you do not have because you do not ask. We need to ask, each of us in our lives. But even in the New Testament, we have these illustrations. We have these testimonies. We also have them in the Old Testament. Gideon prayed to the Lord and he gave him a great victory over the Midianites. Hannah was unable to have children, prayed fervently, and God gave her a son. She gave her Samuel, a great prophet. David, who is described in the Bible as a man after God's own heart, lived a life of prayer, evidenced by many of his psalms that we read today, and his deep devotion to God. And God honored him also and used him as a great and mighty king of Israel. Nehemiah wept, fasted, and prayed, and God used him to lead the difficult task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, resulting in a great spiritual revival among the people of Israel. And Daniel himself was threatened by death, prayed in the lion's den, and was delivered. Each of us need to understand that the miraculous that we seek in our lives, we need not doubt, but has come through only through the power of Christ and the power of prayer. The story of Corrie Ten Boom is the story of a woman that God used in a mighty way. She was a family that were aiding the Jews that were being rounded up and persecuted and killed, and she was harboring them and her family. And she helped many people, she rescued them, and she falsified papers so that they could cross borders and escape. And shortly after that period of time, she was arrested and thrown into prison as well. And when they saw her, all they saw was this little old lady that was frail, that was naked, that was beaten, that was bruised. But they had no idea the power and the glory that God was using. And she was later released and was able to tell her great testimony. But after she was released from prison, she was also given the duty of taking papers for the release of prisoners in the prison. A simple task of just delivering papers. And she almost messed it up to the point where she became terrified that she couldn't even deliver simple papers when the whole time God had been using her in a mighty way to save people. And she recognized that God had given her power on loan. God gives us power, each of us, that comes to Him in simple faith. The power to do great things come from a great God, Jesus Christ. Our lives must be a balance between the mountaintop experiences and the valley of desperation. That's where we see the glory of God. You know, when you take a rotten apple and you put it in a basket of good apples, one bad apple rottens the whole bunch. So why can't one good apple rescue a basket of all those bad apples? You see, when an apple is taken off that stem from that tree, it becomes disconnected from all the nutrients and everything that makes it grow. In our lives, we become disconnected when we don't come to Christ first in those moments of desperation and those trials. We need to be connected to Him by prayer alone. Don't doubt the power of God and His desire for you to receive it in your life. Come to Him in prayer early, expectantly, and faithfully. Stay connected to Christ. Will you join me in prayer?